DW.
Does the concept of security differ in cities in developing countries as opposed to those in developed countries? And if so, how?
Well, people in cities in the global south, they deal with precarity every day. There are many stresses and insecurities of daily life. What is very interesting, though, is how in the research that I've been doing over the last 7 years, that people conceptualize different forms of violence in really interesting ways. So we did research with 2,500 people across two cities in Pakistan, and many spoke about what they called zehni tashaddud. This is an Urdu phrase which literally translates into psychological violence or mental torture. What they mean by that, dealing with livelihood insecurity, struggling to find access to clean water supply every day, population growth, the commute to work is incredibly stressful. Basically, this is what they call a form of sort of mental torture. But obviously, you know, they describe different forms of physical violence which they face as well. So security is a much more broad term.
You mentioned violence in cities, and that appears to be higher than in rural areas. Why is that?
Well, in rural areas, you tend to have groups of families or traditional structures which have social cohesion. Whereas in cities, you have cities are urbanizing very fast and you have lots of people moving from the rural areas into the cities. So there are lots of new people living side by side. There is a kind of challenging of traditional social norms. So, you know, women are contesting traditional ideas about what their life should look like. So this is causing at times a backlash. But also we have actually found in our research that groups of young men have committed violence in the street against women that they perceive have done something which is not seen as moral or appropriate for women.
So the people who experience this violence, is that mostly women?
No, all genders experience different forms of violence within cities in the global south. What's interesting, in Africa, you tend to have much more female mobility compared to Asia. So, for example, 70% of the informal market vendors in Zimbabwe are women. They will obviously experience more sexual harassment and more public violence because they're more in the public sphere. Whereas in South Asia, it's a bit less visible. But also in South Asia, men are very much prone to experiencing violence. And this is all sorts of violence, from sexual violence to, firing, gunfire. Men find it harder to talk about their experience.
Now, if the city government or public entities cannot provide access to drinking water, garbage collection, sanitation, and so on, how can the fact that informal actors that sometimes move in, how can those groups lead to an increase in violence and stress?
Well, sometimes these groups play a very important role in ensuring people's basic services. But what we do find is that it's seen as a kind of opportunity to make money. So the kind of groups that tend to step in tend to be groups of informal networks of men. So they govern them in fairly coercive and sometimes violent ways, and they expect to be paid very extortionate prices. But then there's also a reaction. So particularly men who feel frustrated because, you know, these extortionate costs of basic services. So they then sometimes lash out. But then this is also displaced onto women within the home who are not able to do their household duties with the very small amount of, let's say, water that they actually have. So often they become victims of domestic violence.
These informal actors, are they all kind of semi-criminal, or are there also any positive examples?
There are many positive examples. In Karachi, there's a very famous example called the Arangi Pilot Project, which is basically a sanitation system that was set up by the community in the 1980s because they sort of had enough that there was no sanitation system. And eventually this became more formal and they worked with government. And now there are over 250 replications of this project all over the world, including in Africa. And there are some other really great examples in Africa, actually. In a township near Cape Town, violence prevention through urban upgrading. And there's a really great example on Nairobi, on the Kibera informal settlement. So they focused on transforming unsafe areas into spaces of beauty, but also social cohesion around basic services.
Is it economic development that is needed most to counter these high levels of violence?
There was an expectation that the economic benefits of growth at a national scale will have trickle-down effects for the poorest and for those who experience the violence the most, but that's not actually happening. So what we need is something which is a much more grounded perspective. And I think that the vision of development needs to be created in consultation with local people. We just have to try and focus more on listening to the voices of the people at the ground level and creating positive interfaces for them with each other so that the city doesn't become an area of competition, it becomes an area of cooperation. DW.